Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Old from Australia and down under. Elizabeth Hall, astrologer, and she's about 14 hours different than where I'm at. So I had to come in pretty early to do this, but I'm glad she was gracious enough to redo it. We did it originally, and I thought it would really be neat for one, you know, to hear about astrology, two, talk to somebody way another part of the world. So how you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm doing well, thanks.
And you've been an Australian, you've been there your whole life?
Yes, actually I did live in Singapore when I was a child for a couple of years, but yes, otherwise I've lived in Australia all my life. But I've been to the US a few times, so I have been out of the country.
So what is it you like about Australia? That is, you know, from where I'm at, we see it on TV and you see Skippy. I don't know if you remember that TV show. Sure. Atari, they had some TV shows out of Australia.
Yep.
And, of course, there was Steve, what was his name, Irwin?
Yes. That's
he brought
right.
A lot of popularity to it.
That's right. Yep.
What do you like about Australia? What's unique about it?
What's unique about it? Well, the animals are unique. Actually, you'd be surprised. It's quite like the U.S. geography-wise, where a lot of people live on the coastline, you know, that's where most of the cities are, and we've got the desert in the middle. So it's quite the same. I don't think our ski fields are a patch on yours. They're like pimples, not mountains. But we've also got the, you know, the very lush tropical, you know, subtropical area like you've got for parts of Florida and you know, we've got the colder climates as well. So, but not the extreme. So I suppose what I like about Australia is it's a country where you can live, you know, safely and you know, fairly happy, and you don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, too much violence like you might see in Europe or even England for that matter. So it's quite, you know, very like safe. I think it gets the best of America and the UK, because we get all the American shows, so everyone's quite familiar with all the popular shows from the US here.
You know, you mentioned that the UK and Europe, but the United States has major crime issues in most of the major cities, so we have some issues. So you're saying there, and you know, you live in Sydney, and do you feel safe, or is it Sydney you live in, or you live in Melbourne? Which one is it?
I live in Melbourne, but I did Sydney. Yes, I think it's like any major city. There are certain cities where you wouldn't go walk down, you know, without keeping your wits about you. So I think that applies in any city. But yes, for the most part, it's safe. But we've been having a little bit of problem lately with binge drinking and what they call alcohol-fueled violence, where people were getting in trouble on Saturday nights. But unfortunately, I think that's quite worldwide phenomenon. It's not just for one area or one country. So, but otherwise, yes, it is basically quite safe to live here. And you know, we also have I suppose a lot of American listeners would see it as quite socialist, and it is on some levels. We've got quite a lot of government venture with fair and healthcare and things like that. So we get a lot of that from the British model of government. So.
And how do you feel that works? How do you feel that works?
Well, it's got its good and its bad points. It's a very big drain on the public purse, which is obviously the taxpayer. So obviously we have to fund all that. And right now they're cracking down on you know, people who are unemployed. And I don't know what the situation is for people who are unemployed in America, but in Australia it's not unknown for complete generations of some Australians to have never worked in their family. So there might be the grandmother, the mother, and then the child has never held down a full-time job. and get government handouts. And the other day they were talking about the government wanting to introduce work for the dole. They call the dole, the unemployment benefits. And struck that they didn't actually do something for it already. I wasn't aware that they didn't, so I was a bit shocked. But I think there's something like 900,000 Australians are receiving benefits in that way, which is quite a lot when we only have 23 million population.
Yeah, doesn't that seem like, and we'll get to talking about astrology in a moment, but it's interesting how you talk about, that's where our seems like our country is going towards more of a socialist movement. And what I can see of it, it doesn't create a hardworking middle class. It makes you want to maybe try to get some kind of handout. Like you said, there's generations of people who've been living off that.
Yeah.
There's got to be a better way.
There is. Well, I think it needs to be means tested. Like my mother, who owns her own and, has an investment property, she is still eligible, not full pension, but a pension payment. And both she and I agree that she, by rights, shouldn't be receiving it because she has her own home, another home, and it doesn't seem right, when there are people who really can't afford anything, they get it. So there's a lot of tying up that needs to happen. And interestingly, with astrology, Pluto is in Capricorn, and Capricorn rules big business, government, and society, and also the elderly. And Pluto always looks at things that are needing a really good clean-up and a shake-up. And it takes about anywhere between 240 to 260 years to do a complete revolution of the 12 signs. And the last time Pluto was in Capricorn was during the French and Industrial Revolutions in the 18th century. As you can tell, they're rather major times. And we've only just entered it in the last couple of years, and it takes a long time to cycle through. And I think you'll find by 2025, when it finally finishes transit in Capricorn, there will be giant changes in a number of governments, so and also society structures. So interestingly, that would also happen to coincide with the youngest baby boomers reaching pensionable age. And I would say that by the time, I'm not a baby boomer, Gen X, but I would say by the time I'm that age, there won't be any pension or very little, because they just don't have the funds for it. So I think they would be doing giant overhauls with how they look out. So look more sharply at how they get funding. So I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if start to insist that churches, charities, and non-profit organizations pay tax.
That's interesting. It's fascinating hearing you talk about all that and how astrology can tie into it. Do you like a forecast for the year, for the world, or what you see coming, some changes?
Massive changes already, and I think people may have even noticed them just on a micro level in their own home or workplace. There's a big square planetary phenomenon been happening lately between Pluto and Uranus. I say Uranus, not Uranus. And they
do whatever you want.
And they always bring about a giant change and revolution, and it's usually done in a kicking screen way, because people are human, and they like things to remain the same. People don't generally respond to change very well. And even when someone is bored with a situation, they still get upset and flustered and anxious when things are changing under their feet. So that's happening right now. And that actually has been happening since started 2012, but it really was in earnest in 2013. It will continue until mid-2015. So any listeners out there who have planets in cardinal signs, which are Aries, Cancer, Libra, or actually notice it in a quite personal sense, collecting them, and they're wanting to overthrow things and make a giant change and clear away what's not working. And, of course, their bosses or their partners or their families aren't really taking that very well. Yes.
Let me ask you, do you feel that the astrology ties in with what some people call the ancient indigenous, you know, the prophecies about the shift or the changes that we're going through in 2012 and beyond and even before then? Does that tie into it in any way?
Look, I'm not familiar with that, with those indigenous beliefs, so I really couldn't say. But it's been coming for a while. So I think a lot of people could find this particularly tough. And actually, there's a very, very tough period coming up. And unfortunately, it's happening right over Easter in April. So it's happening between the 15th to 23rd of April. There are a range of really challenging aspects that are just happening one after the other. You know, like that radio station used to say, the hits just keep on doing well. It will be second half of April, well, actually most of April really, for a lot of people will just be just very, very tough. So you could expect to hear of, like, some, you know, famous people getting divorced and, you know, some shock things happening with major companies and, you know, politicians and, you know, things that you've taken for granted won't remain the same. So I think everyone needs to be very circumspect and careful with what they do in April.
Let me ask you this, because I'm kind of a believer in that we kind of create a lot of our own world around us by the way we think about things and our attitudes. Does that fit into astrology?
Yeah, definitely. Look, astrology is not, you know, you are fated to meet a dark stranger. It's not like that. Basically, astrology helps you understand the energies that you were born with and that the energies that are happening constantly around us. And so you have your natal chart, which is date, time, and location that you're born in. And then as soon as you're born, the planets just keep on rolling around, you know, the universe, and they don't stop. And so at particular points in your life, you will have some of the planets that are transiting your natal planets, and they will start to impact you. Now, where the free will comes into it is that you can choose to respond whichever way you wish. I've said to, you know, clients, look, everyone in everyone's chart has the ability to be from Mother Teresa to Hitler, depending on how they behave with the aspects they've got in their chart. So, for example, if you know your child's chart, and you get it from from birth, you could find out, for example, that they may, for example, have bullying tendencies. But if you know that up front, you can think, okay, well, if I know this, we will watch out for that. Instead, we'll get them to burn off their energy playing sport or to take leadership roles at the church or, you know, things like that. So they harness it in a much more constructive way.
You and I have talked about, because you believe in reincarnation as well,
yeah,
right?
I do.
And so how do you see astrology and reincarnation, this is a personal question, if you don't mind, how do you see that all fitting together? What is kind of the purpose? Why do we keep coming back, and why are we doing it?
I think we keep coming back to get it right, basically. You're here on Earth to basically make life better for other people. I think that's what our purpose is. And interestingly, in people's charts, there's a position called the Moon's North Node, and that is the karmic position that shows you in this lifetime what you're here to harness and concentrate on. But interestingly, this particular area gives you what would be called beginner's luck, so that if you actually try exploring this particular sign, and the house energy it also is positioned in, you can actually feel like you're much more at peace and on track. But a lot of people tend to the opposite, the moon's south node, and they feel like their circles, or they feel like, I know how to do this, but it's not satisfying, or people interestingly also criticize you for behaving that way. So when you actually try to be your higher self, which is, you know, another view of reincarnation, trying to improve yourself, you will feel much more on track and on path, and you will feel much more at peace with your life.
Do you believe there's these universal laws that I've heard before?
Yeah.
Do you believe in, like, the law of cause and effect, So what I do is come back to me, and some would say that's karma. Also, you're kind of hinting around that our highest self, if we go in that direction, it's going to be the best direction always for us, right?
Yeah, definitely. Look at your chart and just like see if you're have Moon Square Mars, for example, which means you would jump to conclusions and get offended very easily and get a bit cranky very easily. But if you know that, you can count to 10. You can also choose to use your emotional strength, which you have with that position, to defend other people who are weaker than you. So you can use it in a variety of ways to be a better person. So yes, there is the cause and effect of knowing if I do this, it's likely to have that effect.
Earlier we talked about it. I talked about 2012 and the prophecies of that, and you said you weren't familiar with that, but from what I know of, like, not just the Mayans, but many people are saying this, psychics, mediums, I find a group of people that are believing that we've gone 26,000 year cycle and things are changing, and we're going from maybe a world that was in chaos to eventually come into a place where things are going to get a lot better. Now, that may not happen overnight. Does that tie in any way to what you're talking about?
Yes, definitely it won't happen at night, but it will happen. I don't know if you used to get a Pantene shampoo ad, but there used to be the catch cry. It won't happen overnight, but it will have it getting nicer, shinier hair. I think in terms of things improving, look, you can see micro improvements with things, on a daily basis, and then you can see things on a weekly basis, then on monthly, then on yearly, then on, decades and longer. So, but we all have short memories, so we just need, the next thing to cling on to sort of think, okay, so things are getting better. So, for example, Venus is retrograde at the moment and will go direct on the 30th of January. And as soon as that goes direct, people will start having a bit more their, love relationships. Whenever this is retrograde, it tends to make you put the brakes on a new romance, or perhaps you feel that your partner is pulled away slightly and you're not quite sure why, or you've met someone great and they just disappeared and you don't know what happened, whether it was your fault or not. Whenever Venus goes direct, you can feel that life is back on track. So that's happening on Friday. So that's something to look forward to. In March, Jupiter goes direct. That's currently retrograde as well. So that will help out more people with cash flow and also improve family matters, which might be a little bit up in the air at the moment.
If somebody comes to you for a personal reading, I'm guessing you also do it over the phone because, you can't go to everywhere. And what do you try to help them with? Is this thing that's going to help them make choices in the future for love or for jobs? What is the main effect of a reading?
The main effect of reading is to give people reassurance and clarity. I do ask them, what would you like to know about beforehand? So I can look in the chart and sort of like see what the opportunities for that are, or if something's coming up around that area. Obviously, it saves time knowing what they want to explore rather than having to look through the ephemeris and time on the phone with them. So that can definitely help. But a lot of people like come a crossroads, and funnily enough, it's usually quite clear to me when people are wanting to see me. It's a milestone birthday. Other times, there are major planetary aspects affecting their chart, and they're just feeling just thrown from pillar to post, and they just need to know what's coming up and when's it going to improve. So they just want to know, look, what do I do about this? Sometimes I've seen people who are on the verge of throwing away a particularly good normal relationship just because they sort of think, oh look, I'm bored, and I think I want out. And they don't know they're going through a Uranian transit, which is likely to make them feel bored and restless and positive and do something silly, such as, buy a sports car and run away from someone's doors. So, they need to know that there are those times. And sometimes it can be as simple as, look, to go on a romantic date night together and go to, an unusual cuisine restaurant, or you know, why don't you sort of like, you know, get your hair done, you know, differently or something, but just change it up a bit. But you don't need to make such massive changes. That's Uranian. When it's Pluto, that's often when people have decided to separate from someone. It's not an overnight decision, although it might seem like that to others, but it's actually been niggling away at them for a very long time. Pluto has what I call niggle quality. So it's the subconscious feeling that something isn't quite right, or sometimes it just sort of like is just gut thinking, this is wrong, this needs to change. So you might not be sure what direction to take or when, you know, eventually you think, yep, I'm going to move in this direction. Although, obviously, again, as I've said before, change is not comfortable for people, but if you know what the timings are for things, you can get through it more easily.
I'm guessing you have a lot of repeat business. So do you see, like, when you have a reading with someone, do you see results?
Well, they need to actually tell me the results and actually, you know, send me an email or phone me and tell me. But I do a lot of readings also for friends and family, and they'll sort of like say, should I be looking for a job right now? And I'll sort of say, no, hang fire, you know, it's fine. Or sometimes it actually is the right time. So, no, that actually is a bit more in their court to actually tell me, although I do, you know, say feedback.
So you do get some feedback from people. I know not everybody's going to, but if somebody comes back to you several times, then you're going to know. They're going to probably tell you, oh, you know what, Elizabeth, this is so true, this happened. So you get kind of things happening.
Yeah, I do. Actually, the ones that I get the most are the reports that I do for couples and for children, and the Future Stars reports. So the Baby Stars, Love Stars, and Future Stars reports bring again and again because, you know, either they've had another child or they're in a new relationship, or, you know, they may have ordered a 3-month report to start with, and they sort of think, okay, I want to find out what happens next. So. Yes, I find I do get definitely repeat business from that, with people wanting to, you know, find out what's happening.
If something's set in the stars and the way it lines up, doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Do we have the to change that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. If, for example, I chose the date I went on holidays with my mother, flew to London with her for a holiday, and I chose the date because I noticed if I flew on a particular date and time, I'd meet someone who changed my life, and my husband-to-be was sitting in front of my mother on the plane. And but if I had decided, no, I'm just going to lock myself in the room and not go out and whatever, well, then I would have wasted it. So, you do have to, take the opportunities when they're offered to you. At the same time, when things are a bit too awesome, you need to know just to keep your head down and keep a low profile and wait till it's over.
How does astrology work, and where does it come from? I mean, how did this all get started?
Look, it was started many thousands of years ago. The ones who seemed to correlate the planets to the energies on Earth, and at that time they couldn't see planets past Saturn. That was the extent of their knowledge and telescopes, really. So they couldn't see beyond that. So there was a lot of dual rulership of the signs by the same planet. It's been around for over 5,000 years and helping people to understand how other people, you know, function on Earth.
So the early societies, some of the earlier societies used this to maybe to assist them in growing food and relationships and all that?
Yes, and, it's quite well known that the societies who used astrology were being hired by the kings and emperors and pharaohs of the time to give them advice and guidance the best time that they should do something. Ronald Reagan Nancy Reagan particularly, was very well known for using an astrologer do things. So sometimes I think politicians should use astrology a bit more, because you've had a couple of elections under Mercury retrograde where they've all gone haywire. You might remember the 2001 with George Bush, and then happened again in Australia in 2007. It happened again in Australia and in England in 2010. So any important election that's held in Mercury retrograde often results in either a hung parliament, you know, when the votes are miscounted, or there's what do they call it? What's the PC term? Voting irregularities, I think they call it. So things haven't gone quite legitimately. So, definitely you can use it. Companies use it, astrology, to work out the date they're launching products and so on.
Do you know? I mean, have you looked into like any of the political figures, and what's maybe going to happen to some of them throughout the course of this year?
Yeah, just the Australian ones at the moment, which I'm guessing most of your listeners wouldn't have heard. Our Prime Minister Tony Abbott, the opposition leader Bill Shorten, and we've got a brand new politician called Clive Palmer, who's a billionaire. He's heading up a party. So I was looking at what was happening for them this year. So yes, but I haven't looked at Obama lately, so I couldn't tell you right at the moment.
When you did look at Obama, have you looked at him at all before? Or?
Yes, I have, but I haven't looked at that right on me now. But I have definitely looked at that. In fact, if you bear with me, I'll just quickly pull something up and have a look. I think he's one of my future stars. Samples, just a second. I've taken it off actually, because I've updated them with new reports. Sorry, I can't tell you straight off the bat. I'd have to look.
That's okay. You don't have to. I shouldn't put you on the spot like that. I don't know when I was born exactly, what time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to do something for me just for the fun of it.
Sure.
You need the day, the month, and the year I was born.
Yes.
January 4th, 1960. See what my future holds for this year, maybe.
Okay. And do you know what time you were born?
Have no idea. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry. And what city was that you were born in?
I was born in Iron Mountain, Michigan.
Iron Mountain, Michigan. Right. So this is obviously without the birth time. Okay, well, straight away, I can see you've got two stelliums. A stellium is when you have a concentration of planets in one sign or one house. And you've got two of them across two signs and two houses. So the first lot are in Sagittarius, and the second are in Capricorn. And you know that you're a sun in Capricorn native. So the first ones are in Sagittarius. So Sagittarius rules travel, publishing, the law, religion and philosophy. So that makes you very interested in the big world there and what's going on. So it's interesting that your podcast program is all about exploration and looking at what's out there and broadening your mind, the possibilities. It's very much if you don't get to jump on a plane, at the very least you're an armchair philosopher, and you probably love bookstores and looking around the non-fiction section at books. Your Venus is in Sagittarius, so it's possible that you either met your partner interstate or overseas, or she's foreign born or comes from a different culture in some way, but you find exotic women attractive. Your Jupiter is in Sagittarius, so you find traveling fun, and probably have like a lot of people who are from there staying with you. So like your the host with the most, with a lot of people coming to stay. Travel keeps being emphasized. And then you've got your Mars there as well. Mars is what you put your energy into. That would be, again, into organizing travel or into completing higher studies or some sort of like, law degree or something, online and offline publishing also holds interest. And your next stellium is in Capricorn, which rules, as I mentioned before, business, society, government, and the elderly. So you have a great sense of responsibility. Your Mercury conjuncts your Saturn, which actually makes you think in a very serious, structured way. So you like to be methodical and plan things out. And it makes you ambitious, and it makes you willing to, start at the bottom and just slowly but everly plod your way up to the top. Makes you very, very careful about your reputation. So you would never want to be seen to do anything that be that could, make you ridiculed or laughed at or whatever. And your sun in Capricorn also conjuncts with this as well. So that actually does give you a sense. So even when you were young, you probably had a very old head on young shoulders. If you knew your time of birth, that would be really handy, but you don't. So choosing when we don't know the birth time, we choose noon. That's like the midway point of the day. So it's kind of like a 50-50, like they do on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So you're halfway through there. But so it's hard to tell what your moon sign is because it's saying it could be at 1 degree Aries, but it's unlikely that you're necessarily born at noon. So you either have moon in Aries or in Pisces. So because you don't know the time, we can't estimate that right at the moment. But there is an astrological study called rectification, which sounds a bit painful, but it's
I don't have to go through that.
Working, yeah, exactly. It's actually working backwards through your chart. So you look at all the major events in your life, such as getting married or buying a house or having a child or, opening your own business or major life events. And then you can actually calculate it in reverse, but that's actually quite time intensive and that's actually not something that I specialize in. But astrologers who do it actually check quite a lot actually to do it.
What if I told you a little bit what I'm like? Maybe would that help you narrow it down? Because you said that, I tend to be serious. It's like I'm a kind of a big, huge goofball, and I'm kind of a kid at heart. But I am serious about what I do, and I, I do try to keep the highest integrity, especially like when doing this and working with others. I always try to do that. And like you say, I do hard, and I've started, I guess, at the bottom at one point in my career. Haven't worked to the top yet. Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle. I started at the bottom, and I worked to the middle. But
Capricorns have the long range view, don't worry.
But I love the part about being like a big kid in a lot of ways, laughing and still remembering that and enjoying silly things. I still like to watch Goons sometimes.
Yeah.
And I really feel that's kind of like that in our true nature, these joyful beings. And when I can return to them as much as possible. So, I mean, does that apply to what I am as Capricorn?
Look, actually, Capricorns have a great sense of humor. They just also have like an enormous sense of responsibility that's put upon them. If you have the three planets in, it does lighten up quite a lot. You also need to look at the other aspects that are going on. So you've got Uranus trying your Jupiter, which actually means you might opportunities falling into your lap. You could be extremely lucky and be in the right place at the right time to do the right thing in the right frame of mind. That actually can work out really well for you. That also gives like enormous creativity, and you can get like flashes of insight thinking, well, let's do this. So
I'm a very creative person. I mean, it just comes to me. It's been like that most of my life. And I think it's something you tap into. All these things that exist out there are already there. Yeah. And we have the ability to tap into, if you want to call it, a river of thought, creativity, and energy that exists. And I write commercials when I'm out on the radio. And usually there's some really funny, goofy ones. And it's taken me years to get to that point. But now it just comes so easy because and other people say, well, how do you do that? And I say, well, you just tap into it.
Yeah. But as you sort of like said, just said before, which is a bit of a clue, you actually sort of said you're doing it so easy. There's a book, I think it's Malcolm Gladwell, or The Tipping Point, something about basically the people who were really get ahead, and they were like talking about the experts at something, and that they had worked on it like 10,000 hours or some sort of number like that, and they can do it very easily because they've done it so much. So, and not to denigrate your effort or anything like that, but you do just finesse your craft. It does get easier because, like, you know the shots to take, and sort of like, you'll like see a opportunity and go, okay, that's a great way to express it. Uranus actually gives you tremendous intuitive ability, and also Uranus rules the crowds, and also electronics. So Jupiter rules publishing. So together, you can actually like tap into what your audience would like to listen to.
You keep mentioning publishing, and I've been writing a book for a while, and I'm wondering if that is something I should continue to pursue.
You should do. Yes, absolutely. In fact, I have my book in front of me right now, but Jupiter is going into Leo in July, and probably like November or December or some sort of area around then, it's going to trine your natal Jupiter, and it's going to conjunct your natal Uranus. You could have amazing success with this book if you actually get it finished. You really could.
Capricorns also procrastinate.
Yes, they do, because they're perfectionists and that they hate to put in anything less than their benefit. Whereas Jupiter sort of like does like to have a good time and goof around and have a laugh. So yeah, they do need a bit of a rocket up them occasionally just to get stopped.
That's really accurate, that part, because I've rewritten it several times because I'll read it and go, that's no good, and I'll start over again. And I'm very critical of that. We're just about time. I actually have to go on the radio pretty soon. If somebody wants to contact you, your website, how do they get a hold of you?
Okay, they visit itsinthestarsonline.com, and they could either book a reading with our astrologers in the US, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, or they could order a report or one of the products up there to help you understand your relationship and your children or yourself better.
Do you have any books that you can?
No, I've contributed chapters to a couple of books, but no, I haven't actually. That's on my checklist.
Interesting. Maybe I should do yours next time, huh?
Okay.
Except I don't know anything about it. Well, it's really a pleasure talking to you, Elizabeth. So again, down the road, if you want to at some point.
Oh, goodness.
I love what you had to say, and it's so cool. Not only the astrology part of it, but hearing what somebody's life is like clear across the other part of the world. And even though you probably think it's not a big deal, it just connects us all together. And I think that's what's awesome. So thank you very much, Elizabeth Ball from Australia.
Thank you, TJ.